We continue our series Peeled, and today we talk about goodness, the goodness of God. We talk about goodness, and what does that look like? For many of us, we ask that question, what is goodness? And a lot of different things pop up. We think about somebody being a good person, good guy, good girl. And so we begin to kind of develop in our mind what we think goodness means. I got a good text a little while ago, about 9 o'clock, right at the beginning of the service. Chuck Connor sent me a text and said, hey, your Brazil team, your Journey peeps are headed home. They're back in Atlanta. They're headed to Montgomery. So for anybody in here that's got a family member that's on that trip, we had about 3 or 4 people that went on a trip to Brazil. And they've been building a church, literally with brick and mortar all week. And so they've been doing VBS down there with the kids down in Brazil. And so you'd say, well, that's a good report. Or, you know, we say that's a good thing. And so what is goodness? You know, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, some of those we're able to get them pretty easily. We go, all right, I get that one. Goodness, what is goodness? What does it mean to be a person who has the fruit of goodness in their life? So I want us to kind of look. We're going to read the same passage we've been starting with. And this is out of Galatians, where it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality. For many of us, we would look at this list and we'd say, that's a bad list. All right, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and other sins like these. We'd say, that's bad, right? That's bad. All right, so let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's bad news. You know, that doesn't sound good. You know, so we would say, all right, get it. All right, so it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And so let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Galatians 5:16-26. All right, so here's the thing is, most of us would like to be known as a good person. Hey, that's a good guy, it's a good girl. Good dad, good husband, good wife, good mother, you know. And so we want good to kind of go along the side of our name. We'd like that to be known as one of our qualities or characteristics. But the thing is we're going to see goodness is maybe a little bit different than what you were thinking. So let's take a look. It says goodness is virtue and holiness in action. Goodness is virtue and holiness in action. In other words, it's not just a state of being. It's a deed. It's an action that is taking place. Like last week, we saw that love, kindness was love in action. Today, we see these are things in action. And I don't know if you realize this, but God is a God who is a God of action. He is moving. He is stirring. You know, and here's the thing. He doesn't change, but man, He is always at work in our lives. You know, one of the great teachings that kind of swept through churches years ago was Henry Blackaby's teaching. And it was experiencing God. It was talking about that God is always at work around us. We just got to figure out where God is at work and then join Him in the work that He is already doing. And so God is at work all around us. We just got to figure out where that is, and then we've got to join Him there. He invites us to join Him in the work that He is doing. And so goodness is virtue and holiness in action. This next point here says goodness results in a life characterized by deeds motivated by righteousness and a desire to be a blessing. So in other words, the goodness that we see in our lives that is the fruit of the Spirit is literally God working in us in such a way that there's a desire in us to be righteous, to be holy, to be set apart, to be godly, and to be a light in this dark world. And so the more that we say, God, I want You to teach me how to walk in righteousness. God, I want to line up with the teachings of Christ. I want to be such an ambassador, for Him, that people see Jesus in me. I was riding this past week. We were going to help Daniel move into his new apartment. Him and Erica are here in town. So if you guys haven't had a chance to meet Daniel and Erica, y'all can track them down. They're around here somewhere. And anyway, and so introduce yourself, or give them a warm welcome from here at Journey Church. So we were going to help them unload, and so we were driving down the road, and a guy called me. It was a friend of mine, and it's one of my favorite guys. And so Christian, my son, my youngest son, and one of our interns, Bubba. That's a great name, Bubba. Bubba was in the truck with me, and we were talking. And anyway, so the guy was calling me, and he was kind of venting a little bit, and he was asking for some guidance and some direction. And I said, I appreciate you trusting me enough to call me and ask me those questions. I said, I just want you to know, I said, you're one of my favorite guys. And he said, man, I didn't call another pastor. And it was just kind of one of those, hey, man, I love you, and I love you type deal. And whenever I hung up off the phone, I looked at these guys, and I said, let me tell you, I said, that is one of the most godly men I've ever been around. I said, he walks with Jesus. He leads his family the way that Jesus would. He works his job the way that Jesus would. I said, man, he just oozes with Jesus. And he's a forester. You know, a lot of people would think, oh, he must be a theologian or a professor or a pastor. No, he's a forester. But man, he is a good man. And you can see the goodness of God just oozing out of this guy. Everything he does, you just go, you know what? Man, that guy walks with God. You can see the righteousness in his life. And before he got off the phone, one of the things he said, I'm the spiritual leader of this clown bunch here. He said, and so I want to lead my family the right way. And that's the very thing that sets him apart. It's that righteousness. Man, I want to be righteous. I want to handle this situation the right way. I want to handle this the way that God would want it handled. So whenever we see, you know, people living like that, we go, man, that's a good man. That's a good person. That's a good woman. And it's not that it's just something that they do. But here's the thing, is because of what God is doing in them, their actions, their deeds, the way they carry themselves, we see that as good because we see God in them. We see literally Jesus literally coming through them, oozing through them. And so goodness results in a life characterized by deeds motivated by righteousness and a desire to be a blessing. So what this guy is saying, hey, listen, I want to be a blessing to my family. I want to lead my family the right way. I want to handle this in a way that leaves everybody whole. But I want it to be truth. I want it to be right. I want it to be something that God will honor God. And so I think for us, whenever we say, you know what, man, I want to be a good person, it's not about being a goody two-shoes. And it's not about just walking around seeing what you have and haven't done. But it's about saying, you know what, man, I am motivated to righteous deeds because of the righteous work of the Holy Spirit in me. And so look at this next one. It says, the Greek word translated goodness, agathosune, is defined as uprightness of heart and life. Uprightness of heart and life. So that's the Greek word that we see there that's translated for the word goodness that we see here. And so it's an upright life. It's a righteous life. It's a heart that has been changed. It's a heart that is being changed and transformed to become more and more like the heart of Christ. And so for us, whenever we talk about goodness, it is saying, you know, God, I want you to work in me. God, I want you to change my heart. God, I want you to change how I view people. I want you to change me from the inside out. And those workings begin to take place, and we are motivated, and we want to do deeds that are driven by what God is doing in us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit again. And this agathosune is goodness for the benefit of others. Not goodness simply for the sake of being virtuous. See, there's times whenever we see people and they're like, you know, I've never been drunk. And it's like, you know, hey, I've never been drunk, or, you know, I've never smoked a cigarette, or I've never done this, or I've never done that. And it's not that, you know, it's about the goodness of God at work in them. It's about, hey, I have followed the rules. I've never gone to where you've gone. I've never done what you've done. And it's almost like a belittling. It's almost like a condescending statement. Not like, hey, let me let God work in me. Let me, you know, change some things and do some things in my life. Let me have some deeds that are motivated and driven by the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's almost a, hey, I followed the rules better than you did. So I want you to understand, it's not about being good just to be good. Not just so you can say that you're virtuous. Not just so that you can say that you're better than others. So if that's your mentality, you've missed it. And I've seen Christians through the years that oftentimes that's their mentality. I just want to be better than the other guy. Let me tell you, better than the other guy is not what honors God. I just want to be better than this person. I just don't want to sin as much as they do. The mentality, I'll be God, I want you to work in me. And the motivation that I have to do the things that I do comes from not trying to outdo other Christians so that I kind of get ahead of them, but it's so that God, that you are exalted, that you are glorified, that you are honored. How cool with the songs this morning to sing about the goodness of God. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. You know, and oftentimes what we do is we qualify whether or not God is good by based on what He does for us. You know, if He answers the prayer that we have been praying, you know, then we say, man, He is a good God. Isn't He a good God? And we want to give Him a play. You know, we want to shout and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden, whenever the certain person that we've been praying for doesn't become healed and doesn't live or doesn't get the job or whatever it might be, then all of a sudden we go, God, what's wrong with you? What have I done wrong? God, what, you know, why are you taking me through this? And so all of a sudden we begin to put God on the scale and we say, God, is He a good God or is He not? And the Bible says that He is a good God. But oftentimes we start putting Him on the same scale that we put ourselves on. And we say, well, I've done more good than you have, so I'm a little bit better, so I'm a good person. And then we do the same thing to the God of the universe. If He answers our prayers, if He, you know, if He brings our child home or whatever it might be, then He's a good God. But if He doesn't, then we're like, what is wrong with you? Where have you been? Do you not care? Do you not care that I am broken up? And so all of a sudden, we begin to put God on His scales. And look at this last statement. It says, someone with goodness will selflessly act on behalf of others. Someone with goodness will selflessly act on behalf of others. Think about that for a minute. Someone with goodness, someone with God working in their heart, someone with the Holy Spirit who is doing spiritual surgery within us, man, He begins to illuminate things in our life. He begins to teach us. And here's the thing, it goes back to we see things that maybe others don't see. So we can't sit back and get frustrated because someone else doesn't see what we see. But it says that it moves us, or we selflessly act on behalf of others. We can't just sit back and watch others go without or have a need. We have to move towards that. And it's the work of God within us. And so let's move to this next point. So goodness is virtue and holiness in action. So this next one, goodness comes from God alone. If you don't hear anything else today, goodness comes from God alone. It's not something that we work up. It's not something that we're a little bit more disciplined than the next person, so we have more rights. You know, we got more stars by our name than they do, and so that's what qualifies us for the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. That's not the way it works. See, the only way that we have the fruit of the Spirit of goodness is that it comes from God. It is God Himself at work in our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit changing and shaping and literally doing whatever He has to do to get a hold of our hearts. And so God doesn't just do things and that makes Him good. God is good. The very character of who He is good. Look at what it says here in James. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. And so think about that again. I love what it says. It says, He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Me walking here cast a shifting shadow. Wherever the light is coming from, it casts a different shadow every time I move. And so what the Bible is saying there is that God never moves. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change His thinking. He doesn't change His theology. He doesn't change His doctrine. But He is the one who gives off the light. And so if anything, He doesn't have a shadow on Him. He is the light that is giving light to the world. And so the cool thing I love about that is, man, He's not casting a moving shadow around because He's changing what He thinks or what He believes or even how He feels about you. Here's what I want you to understand. He loves you the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we think, well, man, I messed up or I didn't get my list right. I didn't cover everything I was supposed to do and I'm not as good as this person over here. He loves you the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He sent His Son Jesus to die that we might live. The greatest goodness that we could ever receive is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He, in His goodness, He said, listen, I'm going to provide a way of salvation. I'm going to provide a way for them to be in right standing with Me. And so God, in His goodness, who He is good, He provided the way of salvation for you and for me. The greatest gift that we could ever receive is to accept that. And so all good things Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He is steady. He is consistent. He is the light. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 18:19, that only God is truly good. They were asking him to do some things. They were asking him some questions, and Jesus makes that statement. He said, only God is truly good. Only God is truly good. I want to read a passage to you out of Romans. It's Romans chapter 3. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. And this talks about the goodness of God. So let me get there real quick. Romans chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen. And I thought, when I read this past week, and it talks about God remains faithful. I think it's 3, 1 through 10, yeah. It says, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not, even if everyone else is a liar. God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say and when you win a case in court. But some might say, our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me, a sinner, if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings even slander to us by claiming that we say that we sin no more? The better it is that we who say such things deserve to be condemned. And so look at this next part. We then should be we should conclude that we Jews are better than others. No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. And so here we are talking about goodness. And the scripture says there's no one righteous. No one's good. No one's righteous, virtuous. No one. So not only no one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. And then it goes on to talk about Christ taking on our punishment. In that passage there, it's talking about, hey, it's not about just following laws. It's not about, you know, who's qualified. Hey, if you're a Jew and you're circumcised, that hey, you know what? Then you're good. No. What it's saying is, listen, we've all sinned. We've all messed up. We've all blown it. And so if you think, hey, well, I'm a pretty good dude. I'm a pretty good guy. You know, Paul is addressing it right there. He says, nobody is good enough. We've all fallen short. We have all missed it by a mile. And so what happens is a lot of times people begin to think about how we begin to qualify ourselves like, you know, I'm a good guy. You know, I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. And we begin to qualify ourselves. But Paul says, man, we've all blown it. And the only goodness that's going to be in anybody is the goodness that comes from God when we accept Christ. And so he goes on to say in the rest of that chapter there in Romans 3, he says, listen, it is Christ's punishment. It is Christ going to the cross that gives us the right to even be able to approach God, much less to be able to make a difference. And so therefore, we need God at work within us. Look at the statement here. Or this passage here, it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We are all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. It's not by following the guidelines. It's not by following the rules and the regulations. It's not by even following the law is what Paul's saying. It's not about all the things that you do right. It's about accepting Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's how good God is, that God didn't make it to where, you know, you've got to be able to do this, 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 and this to jump, you know, you got to jump through enough hoops. I thought about last, you know, we had a backpack giveaway. I mean, this room was filled with people. It's probably 750 to 800 people just in the room here. And I saw that they brought some kids up on the screen and you know, up on the stage, and they were going to play a game. And I saw this one little kid, and they said, "All right, you got to do this." And they pointed up here to the screen. I was like, "What if that kid can't read?" And so that little kid turns around and takes off running off the stage. I mean, we had a great day, and it was a fun game. But here's what I was thinking. You know, what if somebody can't read the law? What if somebody can't read the scriptures? Do they get in? And here's the great thing I love about salvation is it is only through the person of Jesus Christ. What if we don't know enough about the Bible? We can put our faith in what Christ has done. That shows you how good God is. It's not something that we have to qualify and we have to earn. We get to receive a gift. We get to receive a gift. That's the goodness of God at work within His body. And look at this last part here. It says, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, our character changes. See, as God is working in us, our character changes. You know what your character is? Anybody know what character is? Anybody want to take a jab? It's who you are when no one else is around. So in other words, it's who you really are. So who we are is changed by the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so our character, the very character of God is what? Goodness. And so if we're going to say that the very character of God is goodness, and the Holy Spirit comes and He is literally the presence of God in our life, He is working in us, then here's the thing, that Holy Spirit begins to change our character. He influences us and our character begins to change. And so we go back over here and we say goodness is virtue and holiness in action. Then here's the thing, our deeds become something that we want to do that honors God, and they become righteous deeds. We become the righteousness of Christ. We become the ones that are trying to make a difference in the lives of others. Matthew 5:14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." See, you're not doing that for you. You're doing that so that God is glorified and honored. You know, our missions team has gone down to Brazil. They went down to build a church building with brick and mortar. They have sweated and they have toiled. And here's the thing. Hopefully it's not just for their gain and not just for the sake, I went on a mission trip. But they're doing it. And here's the thing. The good works, the good deeds that they're doing, the building of that church, the teaching of God's Word has been done to glorify our Heavenly Father. Not to glorify them, not to make it about them, not to give them even bragging rights, but it's so that they will literally go, let me tell you about the God that I serve. Let me tell you about how much God wants a relationship with you. And whenever they're teaching these children in VBS, they're able to tell them about a Jesus that loves them. They get to tell them about Jesus and what He did when He went to the cross and how they can have eternal life. And so the thing is as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, our character changes, how we live should change. If you got saved years ago, I'm talking about years ago, and you still live the same, maybe you're not allowing, you're not submitting, you're not surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing is, your language should change. Your focus should change. Your attitude should change. You know, what you do with your time should change. I think too often what we see people who, man, they want to be saved. Who would want to go to hell? I mean, when I read the scriptures, I can't understand why anybody in their, right mind would say, man, I want to go on down to hell. That's where I want to go. You know, everything that I read, that's where I can't understand why anybody would ever want to go there. So here's the thing. I totally get why people want to go to heaven. You read the depictions and the stories and how it's described in the scriptures. Like, man, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? And so a lot of times I think for people it's all about, I just want to do enough to get in there. It's not about letting that decision affect how I live down here. And the thing is, the scripture is pretty clear that it should change us here. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And that is not just in heaven, but that is here. And that abundant life is us living out our faith. It's letting God change us day in, day out. And we should be different. For some of you men in the room, you know, you should be a better spiritual leader in your home today than you were a week ago, or maybe a month ago, or a year ago. maybe some of you ladies in here, you say, you know what, man, I hope and pray that I am a better wife than I was a year ago. I'm a better mother than I was a year ago. I'm a better person. And so we're allowing God to change us because we are submitting and surrendering. And that's what the very first passage says. Let the Spirit lead our lives. Let it change us. And so if we're being changed and transformed, it should show up. It should show up. We shouldn't be just doing church. Just showing up, doing the same thing I've done for 20 years. There ought to be change taking place within us. Transformation. You know, I love it whenever I see people who, man, they get so excited about their faith. They're literally, man, it's like they're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You know, I mean, they're ready to go. They believe it. But too often they have to come back. And I remember my pastor growing up saying, too often those new believers have to come back and backslide into the fellowship of the rest of the church. Because so many in the church are just okay with just going to church and letting that be it and it not affecting the rest of their life. And what should take place is that all of us ought to be as excited about our relationship with God as a new believer. And excited about what God is doing. Excited about how He's changing us. And here's the thing is, daily seeking that change. Going, God, I want You to change me. Listen to what Paul's prayer is here for spiritual growth. I covered this Wednesday night in First Wednesday. And man, love for you guys to join us on First Wednesday. We had a great service Wednesday night. But listen to what it says in Ephesians here. Now, this is out of the Message. And it's a paraphrase. Eugene Peterson says this a little bit different. You can look at it in New Living Translation or NIV, whichever one you want to read. But I want you to listen to what he says. I love how he presents it. He says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not by brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit, deeply and gently within us. I love that. I mean, it gets me excited. There's so many great things in there and so many great statements in there. But the thing that I love the most is God can do anything. God can change anybody. He can change you. He can change your husband. He can change your wife. He can change your mom. He can change your dad. But God uses us as a witness in their life. And here's the thing. We can worry about all the people around us that need to change. Because that's our tendency. We always want to point out to them, you know, this one needs to change. But we forget that, you know what, I'm the one that needs to change. Let God start here. And let's let that affect the people around us. And so God can change anything. And he says up here, you know, he says, this is Paul praying for spiritual growth. My response is to get down on my knees. And maybe that's what we need to get down on our knees before God. Say, God, I want you to teach me about you. God, I want you to work in me. God, I want you to change me. God, I want to be different. God, I want to be a good representation of you. God, I want to be good. I want to be filled with goodness. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, but look what it says. It says, I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. That's the only way it comes. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. It's not by following more rules. It's not by just doing a few things and not doing a few things. It's by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. But I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Not a brute strength where it's, you know, it's pushing around and shoving around, but a glorious inner strength. Glorious inner strength that the world can't seem to get its mind around. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. He says, and I ask that with both feet planted firmly on love. It's like we're standing firmly on love. It is the love of Christ. It's the love of God. It's the love of the Holy Spirit for me that is leading me down this path. And so with both feet planted firmly on that, it says you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, that we begin to understand how much He loves us, the extravagant dimensions. How much He loves us. And here's the thing, how much He wants us to love others. The whole premise of Jesus coming was that we would love God and that we would love others. But He's asking, hey, listen, I want you to get your mind around it. Reach out and experience the breadth. How wide, how deep, how much it is. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Jesus has said, I have come that you might have full lives. Are you living that life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you? Full in the fullness of God. Not full with bills. Not full with responsibilities. Not full with, you know, a crazy schedule. But that we say, you know, God, I want to be full with the fullness of God. I can do anything. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Let me ask you, do you feel God working within you right now? Do you feel the Holy Spirit gently, slowly moving and working within you? Do you feel that? Then what are you going to do with it? It's too often, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a service where I felt like God was dealing with me about something, and I would put it off. I said, well, you know, I'll deal with that later. I'll get home, and I'll take care of that in my prayer closet. And then when I get out of that room, I realize, you know what, I missed a moment. There's times when the Holy Spirit is—he's working deeply within us. And if we're—and here's the thing—that's Paul's prayer being answered. Paul is praying for all believers. He's praying for us that, you know what—that we will allow the Holy Spirit, we will submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit, and we'll allow that Holy Spirit to work in us gently, drawing us closer, filling us up to the fullness of God. A couple of next steps down here. It says, "I will stop trying to earn salvation, and today I place my faith in Christ." See, I think the church is full of people still trying to earn their salvation. There's some Sundays they feel like they're good. Some Sundays they don't know. There's some Mondays they feel like, you know what, I'm good with God, and there's some Mondays they don't know. There's some Tuesdays they feel like, you know what, man, I'm good with God, and some Tuesdays they're like, man, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Man, that's not the way God intended for you to live. So stop trying to earn salvation. The next one says, I choose to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit within me. You know where that surrender begins? Right here, right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not going to be Monday morning. I'm going to start new. It starts right now. Why put it off? And the last one that says, I choose today because of what God is doing in me to be a blessing to someone today. See, that's the virtuous, righteous acts of goodness. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask you this. What is God, what's the Holy Spirit doing within you right now? The band's coming out and they're going to play. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Because like I said, I think too often we put it off, we delay it. But what we really need to do is we just need to trust. We need to allow God to just literally. So I want to ask everybody, if you would, just to stand. And the altar is open. I want to ask our prayer team, if they would, to be here. Any of our prayer counselors to be here at the front. And they're here to pray with you. Sometimes we just need somebody to pray with us. Sometimes we just need someone to pray over us. So we've got some prayer counselors that are coming down. They'll be here at the front. And you just respond. The band is going to play. You respond as God leads you to. And my prayer is that He is working slowly and gently within you, drawing you close to Him. Something you need to lay down. It could be your anger towards God. Maybe He hasn't answered a prayer like you wish He would have. Maybe there's something that you pled with Him and you begged Him and He didn't answer the way you thought He should have. Maybe you're still angry with God about that. Maybe you just need to lay it down. Say, God, I want to give it back. Satan's using this to destroy my relationship with You. He's using it to pull me away. He's using it to separate me from You. So whatever it may be, maybe there's something you just need to say, God, I give this to You. I ask You to forgive me. What's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? Is it pride? You know, pride's one of those things that works in such a powerful way in the body of Christ. We become prideful, arrogant. We don't want anybody to know that we've got problems. We're afraid to go to an altar. People might think something is wrong. We're afraid that someone might find out that we're not where we need to be. We're not the perfect couple that everybody thinks we are. And so what happens is Satan uses pride to keep us tucked away, hidden, you know, hiding our secrets. And here's the thing, Satan uses our secrets to beat us with, to whip us with, to literally hold us captive. Sometimes we become prideful and arrogant. And that is not a reflection of the goodness of God. We look back at the very picture of who Jesus is. We see the fruits of the Spirit obviously there. There was also meekness, gentleness, power, authority, but yet loving, kind. We see all those qualities and characteristics. So the question we ought to ask is, God, help me to be more like Christ. Help me to be more like Him, day in, day out. And here's the other one I would throw out there to you, is to say, God, if you know, I've been a believer for however long. For me, I was 19 when I got saved, and I'm 51. So one of the things that I would say is, you know, God, I want to be changed daily. I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to become stagnant. And I don't want to stay in the same place. God, I want You to change me daily. I want to submit and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I ask You to draw me close to You. Show me those areas of my life that are not being changed, not being transformed. Father, I thank You for meeting with us today. God, I thank You for Your love for us. God, I thank You that You are working in us. Father, even those of us in this room that maybe we're still caught in the battle, you have not given up. You don't cast a shifting shadow. You pursue us. You chase after us. God, you even bless us when we don't deserve blessings. God, you want a relationship with every one of us. The Bible says it's your desire that all people, all men, would be saved. So God, we just ask you to use us this week. God, we thank you for how much you have blessed us. God, help us to see the needs and the lives of others around us. And God, help us to be moved towards deeds that bring honor and glory to you. God, help us to be a people of action. Let this goodness be those works of virtue and holiness that are taking place within us in action. And that you get all the glory. In Jesus' name.